This is Running on Sunshine. Thanks for joining us today as we talk about anything from runs down here in the South to nutrition. Now let's pop the hops on sunshine and get this pod started. Hey guys, it's Meg. Before we jump into this pod, really fast, probably shouldn't be drinking and podcasting at the same time. At one point, I say 10,000 pounds of Epsom salt, and that is incorrect. What it is 1,000 to 1,500 pounds. So please ignore that 10,000. Again, drinking and podding, don't always mix, but enjoy the pod. Hello, everybody. It is Meg. We are back with another episode of Running on Sunshine. And tonight, I have a special guest host. I'm super excited. It is the first time we're ever doing anything like this. It is a new point in our 10-year relationship. My husband, Greg. And before you think it, I know our names rhyme. It is so annoying and adorable. Greg, welcome to the pod.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm so honored to be invited on here and to talk about our special topic for tonight.
Our topic tonight is going to be floating. If you have never done a float before, this was really fun. Greg and I are both very interested in holistic health care and meditation and things like that. So he is my partner in crime. We had different experiences. We used it for different reasons. But first of all, you are going to talk about our beer of the day. Greg, take it away.
Yes, the beer of the day is from Southern Tier Brewing Company. It is called Pumpkin, so obviously a pumpkin flavored beer. It is an Imperial Pumpkin Ale, as described by the brewery. So this beer tastes a lot like the Shipyard Pumpkin Beer, which is kind of I consider the gold standard of pumpkin beers. This pumpkin beer is a bit more bitter and maybe with a stronger pumpkin taste, but otherwise it's very good.
It doesn't have a strong smell of pumpkin, but it is tasty.
Yes, I feel like the flavor is stronger.
Yeah, we did the Shipyard last time with Steph and one of the other pods, and Shipyard is definitely a little bit sweeter and you feel like this is stronger?
I do, yeah, and it's a bit more tangy or bitter. I'm not sure which the flavor
this is, a more authentic pumpkin flavor to me, whereas the Shipyard has a more pumpkin pie flavor to me. How does that make you feel?
I can go along with that.
I'm not mad. I'm drinking it. I'll drink it all day.
I will too.
All right, so you guys, Craig and I went on an adventure. We went out of town specifically for the day to go and do a float. If you've never been in a float, there are different kinds. There are float pods. There are float like cubes. Before we get started any further, we are A, not float experts. Greg, are you a float expert?
Definitely not.
And we are B, not medical experts. So anything that we may touch on that is medical, we're not giving advice. This is not a medical opinion. So take that for what it is. But there are two different kinds of float pod tanks. So there's the pods and then there's the actual like cube style tanks that are in the walls. There's more than that, but this is, from my knowledge, what I've floated in so far. This was my second float. This was your
second float also.
Okay. And the first time I did the more like step down into the cube that's attached to the wall, like built in, this was my first time doing a pod.
Yes. And both the first time and the second time, which is this time, is also, these both were both pods.
For you?
Yes.
Okay. I enjoyed the pod float much better. The first time I did it, it was really extreme. I was out in California on vacation a couple years ago. I had to step down into this really, like, completely pitch black space. There was no noise, there were no lights. To get in and out of it, you had to walk through the shower area. So once I got in, I felt like I couldn't get out because you float naked. And so if I came out and then they were coming to get me, because that's how they came to let you know your time was up, I could potentially be naked and they're coming to get me. And so I refused to get out, but I didn't want to be in anymore because it was complete deprivation. This pod situation, a little more friendly for your first time. I thought it was a lot nicer.
Yes, these pods were internet connected so that they could notify you from the desk that your time was up and use the built-in intercoms in them.
Yeah.
And didn't require anyone coming inside to open your pod or coming in the same room that your pod was in either. So,
and if you feel claustrophobic, you have control over the lid on the pod. So it looks like a giant egg and the lid comes up and down. And if you're starting to feel overwhelmed or claustrophobic, you can open it up. You can control the light in it. I had a lot of light action going on.
Yeah, I chose to turn the light off after I had got settled. I had got my head brace or my head floating device I had in there.
Oh, you used one of the head floaters? I didn't. I just let it go.
No, yeah, I definitely used one of the head floaters because I felt like I needed to use that so my head wouldn't sink enough so that the float water would go in my ears. So that kept the float water out of my ears.
Gotcha. So if you're not familiar with floating, the way that it works is in these bubble pods or tanks, they put 10,000 pounds of Epsom salt and then they fill it with water. And so you're very buoyant. It's almost like being in the Dead Sea. It's impossible to sink. So for me, I didn't use one of the head pillows. And I didn't have any problem with my head sinking in the water. My ears were submerged. They do give you earplugs to use. I forgot the earplugs, got in the water, then tried to get back out, put the earplugs back in. My ears were already wet and it was a disaster, but I was like, whatever. It's like swimming in the ocean times 1,000. So it's not gonna kill me to have a little salt water in my ears. So that's how it works. And then your body, basically it takes all the pressure off your joints. It alleviates stress. Now, we used it for different reasons. You went in for?
I went in for a meditative and relaxing experience. And I wanted as much sensory deprivation as possible, which means I had no music and no lights inside. So I was effectively in total darkness for a long time. The only sound I could actually hear was the building's fan and air conditioning. That would be running. Otherwise, there was total sensory deprivation for me.
I'm sorry, go ahead. What are you gonna say?
Oh, and I just wanna go back to one other thing about the setup when you got in. In addition to when we were talking about floating, because I found that without the head brace that my head would sink below the water, I found myself, the reason I ultimately used the head brace was that I found that I was kind of correcting for my ears getting under the water.
Mm-hmm.
So, a couple of times I tried to relax entirely and then my ears would sink under the water and I didn't like that. So that's why I ultimately decided on the head brace.
Gotcha. So I actually used it for my running. Part of the benefit, there are a lot of benefits to floating. It's known to help with people with PTSD, there we go. it's great for anxiety and depression. And every float is not the same, just an FYI. You might have one float where you're crying because you're processing something while you're in the tank. You may have another float where you're just happy and peaceful and joyful. So if you're gonna go in and you're gonna try this, just be aware that your first float might not be that Zen float that you're expecting, especially because it takes a little while to get your brain to relax. I am one of those people that has a hard time making their brain relax. There are some situations where I've now programmed myself to be like, okay, it's time to switch off. This is not one of those situations for me yet. So I approached the float tank for my muscles, for my joints. I mean, you're floating in all that salt. So it's also attributed to having anti-inflammatory benefits in the muscles and the joints. It's also known to relax sore and tired muscles and tense muscles as well. So for me, when I got in the tank, I decided the first 15 minutes, I really thought, okay, I can do this. I'm gonna let my brain relax. I did a couple of meditative techniques like counting backwards, focusing on my breathing. Then I adjusted the lights. You can do like a disco light setting where they flash all the different chromotherapy colors. So like a nice soft pink and teal. And then I was just like letting the disco play. I could not relax. So I had to change Greg just kind of laughed under his breath, you guys, because he knows me so well. So I had to kind of change my thought process after about 15 to 20 minutes of floating and just think, okay, I'm in here to get this benefit of muscle relaxation and anti-inflammatory benefits for my joints, specifically my right ankle. I broke a couple years ago and I still have a lot of problems now running with it. So I started doing some great yoga stretches while I was in there that I could do while floating, and my back cracked, but not in like an unsafe way. It was like, felt amazing. My neck started cracking. It was like I could get into these poses and relax, and it was wonderful. Did you notice that you could, that you stretched better, could feel better? Any like physical benefits after your float, Greg?
I did not notice a difference. I was mostly in it, but then again, I was mostly focusing on the meditative relaxation part. I definitely came out of it very relaxed, and but I didn't actually notice any benefits several days later.
Gotcha. I noticed for a couple days afterwards that my right ankle, which normally has some just swelling around the ankle naturally, was much better, and I could move it better, and I got some good stretches, like ankle rotations out of it. I also noticed going out on a run, it was better. If we lived closer to a place that had float tanks, I would be doing this once a month for my, just for my joints. I don't know that I'm at the place yet where my brain can detach and relax, and so, but for my joints and for my inflammation, it's like the biggest, saltiest Epsom salt bath that you can possibly take, and your muscles immediately are like, oh my God, thank you. That was kind of the way I felt afterwards.
Yeah. Now, there are a couple things you can do, and I think you described to me that you already tried these. And if you are having trouble relaxing and actually getting the meditative benefit, you can just focus on your breath, since you always have your breath with you, it never leaves you. You focus on the sensation of the air going in and out of your nostrils or your mouth, whichever it might be. You can also focus on the sensation of the float fluid touching your body, where it's touching you, where it's splashing up on you. That's also something you could focus on. You could focus on any other ambient noises in the room. But those are all good ways to try to calm yourself and get your mind to be present and not focusing on things that aren't present at the current time. And if you're still having problems after that point, you can count while you're breathing. So you can count to four on as you inhale, and then count to four as you exhale. And that actually, the counting combined with focusing on your breath is a good way to get you to focus on being present, as opposed to being distracted and being upset and not relaxing.
And then to tie that back into running also, for those of us that are doing half marathon, marathon distances, practicing your breathing prior to race day is an important thing. It's an important thing that a lot of us forget in our training plan, to work on regulating your breath. So this is a great place to be able to just sit and focus and do that in this warm, salty, super salty saline water. And then after you get out, you shower off. Am I forgetting anything important with this that people should know prior to going in?
Yeah, prior to going in, you can expect to have to shower before you get in the pod. They don't want any kind of body products like deodorant or shampoo or anything like that on your body before you go into the float. So they require that you shower beforehand. They do provide some body soap and shampoo that I guess is safe for these pods that you can use before you go in. But that is one of the requirements before you go in is to shower. The other thing that they give you in the pod itself, they give you a couple things. In addition to the headrest that I described earlier, they also give you a spray bottle mist of water, and that's if you get some of the float solution on your face or it gets on your mouth or your lips. So you can spray yourself, or especially in your eyes as well, you can kind of spray your eyes and then they also give you a moist washcloth as well, so you can spray yourself and then wipe off the float solution from your face.
Did your first float have those items as well?
I don't think it did.
My first float did not either. This was that was a nice ad. And honestly, I thought, I'm not going to be one of those fools who gets her eyes in this insane solution. But I did twice. I kept stretching and I turned my head and not thought about it.
Yeah, I used it. I used it as well. And then the other little accessory they give you is an empty plastic cup. If you do get some in your mouth, they want you to spit into the plastic cup and not spit into the float.
Yeah.
So, because after you're done floating, they do recycle the float solution and they go process it through some kind of filtration system.
It's a triple micron filtration system. So there's a net inside the first filtration system for things like hair, body oils. There's an oil filter as well. And then there are two more filters before the water comes back into the pod. And like I said, it's I can't remember the exact micron that it breaks it down to. It is industry adjacent to what I do for a living, which is the only reason I know what I do know about it. But it's not an industry, like I'm not in floating, so it's hard for me to say the micron breakdown of it. But yes, there are three filters and then they hand filter it as well. So after the three filters run, they come in, they like the tanks get bleached out, they check the actual water just to make sure the filters didn't miss anything. They take flashlights usually and look through the pods and inspect them in between each one. And then the showers and everything gets cleaned in between each float as well. Yeah.
They also recommend that you take your contacts out before you float. I did. It was, I don't know if I would do it again.
I didn't, and it was a huge mistake.
Okay, so that's interesting. So we both regret our choice, and we both made different choices. Because I was being pretty, I had that head brace, so I was being pretty careful not sinking my head under or getting close to. Mm-hmm. So, but it is a recommended, though not required, choice to remove your contacts before you go in.
Yeah, I got the salt in my eyes twice, like I mentioned before, and then I felt like I couldn't get my contacts back where they needed to be. It was so much salt. It was just so much salt for your eyes. So that was a mistake. Had I not been wearing my contacts, my eyes might have been a little irritated, but they would have been fine. But because I was, it was almost felt like the salt was on the contact after that for the rest of the day. I don't know if you remember, we went to brunch afterwards and I was like, oh my gosh, my contacts. And I kept moving them around because they were irritated by it. By the way, we went to brunch and you guys, this has nothing to do with anything, but I had a creme brulee French toast. It was so good. And you had, what did you have? The salmon.
I had a salmon platter, which was just an appetizer, but it had a assortment of salmon,
capers.
Capers, yes. I always mix those up, even though they're not similar at all. And then there was also some bread as well, and some, actually some kind of horseradish sauce that went along with it.
Not a carnivore, but it looked tasty.
Yes.
Mine was amazing.
It was attractively presented as well as tasty.
I was starving. I was so grateful that we had such a delicious lunch, but I almost regretted going out to lunch because coming out of the pod, I felt overstimulated by all the people in the restaurants, by the noises. At the time, I didn't think like I was getting that much sensory deprivation, but then coming from in there to outside, I was like, whoa. So that would be my other suggestion, would be like, if you're gonna do this, plan to give yourself an hour afterwards to kind of just wake back up, because it felt like all the noises, all the lights, all the things, you know what I mean? Were just like a lot.
Yeah. And we did the 60 minute sessions. There are also 90 minute sessions, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm ready for a 90 minute session.
Yeah. Yeah. I was happy with the 60 minute. I got my meditative fix and I was happy.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about adding this into your health regime, to your fitness regime, to your mental health regime, I recommend giving it a try at least once. If you have to drive a little bit out of town, make a day trip out of it like we did, it's still worth it. I thought it was a great adventure that we had for the day. We're going on another adventure next month. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I am very excited.
So my partner in crime and I are going to go down and we're going to try cryotherapy for the first time. Again, I am thinking of this with my running, with my muscle fatigue. I'm ramping up the miles like a lot of us are right now for dopey training. And I've got some other runs coming up that I'm going to tell you guys about that have long distance. I'm very excited / nervous and freaked out. But I'm hoping the cryo also helps this bum ankle that I have. And because the ankle is so janky, I've thrown my weight onto my left side, and so my knee has had problems on and off. So I can't wait to see how the cryo... Oh, God, Craig just threw his hands up in the air. I can't wait to see how the cryo relates to helping any inflammation I don't know that I might have or have, and just make things work a little bit better. Or not. I guess we're going to find out next month. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah. I always love these experimental adventures.
But you do, though, because you now love floating, right?
Yeah, I do. And now we're going to add another one. And we should, what's the other one we should try after? Oh, hyperbaric oxygen.
Oh.
Maybe we should try that next after this. But that's for another podcast.
Okay, it sounds good. That we'll have to add that to the list on Greg and Meg Adventures. The Adventures of Greg and Meg. Greg, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Oh, it was a pleasure. I hope I get invited back.
You're definitely coming back. You don't have a choice.
Great.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to us ramble about floating. I would say Google it, find it in your area, give it a try. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again for joining the show today, guys. Make sure you leave a review for us on this podcast and follow us on Facebook at Running on Sunshine. Also, if you feel like we've said anything in error, please reach out and let us know. Have a great day.